Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We're going to start getting into the Word here in just a few moments. But Merry Christmas 2 days after, and we're coming up on New Year's here in just a few days as we approach this threshold of this new, shiny new year that's coming up here in just about 5 days, counting today. Hope springs eternal for a fresh start, doesn't it? New and exciting opportunities for growth and blessings in our lives are before us as the Lord is going before us. We've seen some cartoons. I've seen some in the years past where usually this time of year you'll see it in the newspapers thereabouts where the old man of 2020 who has this banner and this thing that says 2020 maybe going across here, he's this old man. And he's handing off the baton to this new little baby in diapers that says 2021. How many knows the cartoons that I'm talking about? Every year about this time, those cartoons take place. And I would imagine that the 2020 dude, if you were to look at him, is probably a little rougher and a little more haggard than usual. And I would imagine that maybe the 2021 baby having this look of uncertainty and trepidation on his face as he grabs the baton from the 2020 guy. It's like, what happened to you? In fact, Kelly and I, watching the Wheel of Fortune the other night. See, Pastor Joseph's going to do that every 5 minutes to make sure everybody stays awake this morning. So, a little too soon. Everybody was still awake, but that's good. We were watching the Wheel of Fortune the other night. Pat Sajak said, you know, the best thing about Christmas that I like, especially this year, is that it means that it's 1 week away from 2020 being over. And I thought that was a pretty good insight to how it kind of wraps up 2020. But you know what? The fact is that 2021 is before us whether we like it or not. I hope that you're going to like it. There's going to be many opportunities and there's going to be many wonderful moments that we're going to experience. There's also, and I can assure you that as with any year that is before us, we're also going to face some opposition along with it. Just as no one could have predicted 2020, so no one can be certain what 2021 is going to hold. But I can say this for sure, because such is life, that we're going to have many open doors of opportunities, but along with it, we're going to face some adversity. It's all in how we deal with things that come before us as to how 2021 will be for all of us today. So 12 months from today, I want us to be able to say together that I've enjoyed many opportunities, but I've also faced some adversity. But I trusted God in all ways, and in every way, He has been faithful to see me through to great victory and success in 2021. That's my prayer for you all today as we look forward to this new year ahead of us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the Lord dropped this verse in my heart last Sunday night. And I just couldn't get away from it, and I really feel like this is what He wanted us to look at this morning as we are on the threshold of this new year. Paul, the Apostle Paul, spoke of this very thing, these great open doors that were before him, but also the obstacles and the opposition and the adversity that he was facing. If you read with me along in chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians verse 9, he says in part, "For a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you today for this day that you've made for us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here today, inhabiting our praise. Your word promises that where two or more are gathered in your name, you're also there. Your word promises that as we lift up your name and glorify you, that you will inhabit our praise. Both of those things are true on our part, so we know that you're doing your part by showing up and ministering to us. Father, we lay aside every distraction, every burden, every care that we brought into this place. We lay it at your feet, in fact. We give it to you right now. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that from this moment on, if we have been distracted, that we would be distracted no more, that we would focus on you, your word, and what you want to share with us today. Pray, Lord Jesus, that your Holy Spirit would minister life to us, direction, strength, and help and hope. We praise you, God, for making your word come alive to us today. And I pray, God, that you would equip us so that when we leave this place, we're encouraged, strengthened, and renewed, and certainly equipped to do for you what you've called us to do. God, bless your bride. Bless your church today. Anoint the words that I say. Anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive and our feet to walk it out. And we pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Well, as we read this one verse in 1 Corinthians, we wonder, who are these adversaries that Paul was talking about? There's a lot of speculation on who these people were, and no one really knows, but I can give you some ideas. It could have been a man by the name of Demetrius. He was a silversmith, and you read about him in Acts chapter 19. We're not going to read the entire story, but I'll give you the synopsis of it. Paul, in his preaching of the gospel in Ephesus, was impacting Demetrius and his cohort's livelihood. You see, what he was a silversmith, and he made money off of making statues of idols of the goddess Diana. And the masses of people that were there in Ephesus were turning from Diana and those other false gods and were turning to the one true God. They were turning to Jesus Christ. Demetrius didn't like it, and so he devised a plan to stir up dissension and to get a group of people together to come against Paul so that he would stop doing what he was doing to make Demetrius's life a problem and the rest of those people that were making money off of Diana the goddess. I don't know. It could have been him. It could have been also the ones that he wrote to Timothy about. When Paul left Ephesus, Paul was there for 3 years. He spent a lot of time in Ephesus. He invested a lot of his heart and soul into the people of Ephesus, into this big city. By the way, it was one of the top important cities of the Roman Empire of that day. It wasn't just a little town off to the side. It was a major hub where a lot of people and a lot of activities were going on. And so Paul saw the strategy, and the Holy Spirit through Paul saw the strategic purpose of Paul being there. And so when Paul left, he left Timothy in charge of the church of Ephesus that he had established. And he actually wrote Timothy and warned him about it in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 4, 6, and 7. He says, "Don't give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in the faith, from which some have strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law and understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm." You know, I don't know what was going on there in Ephesus, but apparently Paul knew of these people. There were some folks there that were creating a new gospel. They were veering off into useless, futile chatter that was creating confusion and disputes in the church, and Paul was warning Timothy about it. It could very well be that in those 3 years that Paul spent there in Ephesus, birthing and nurturing and growing this church, and he knew the people well, he knew the city well, he knew the collective spirit of the community well, he knew the believers of the church well, and he was making an impact and not without resistance, and he knew these people, and he was saying, "Timothy, watch out for these people. I had to deal with them, and now you're going to have to be discerning and deal with them as well." I don't know who it was, but we do know that Paul had an open door before him of ministry. But when it came to people who had in their heart to hinder him and stop him, he called those people adversaries. You know, we've got to accept that with every opportunity, there also come some challenges. We've got to understand that in life, with every open door, there potentially comes some adversity. You won't ever experience a success until you first confront usually a struggle in your life. Let me give you an example or two. A baby is born after the struggle of labor. Good grades in school result from struggling in your studies. A business is built through years of careful and wise struggle. Weight loss is achieved after struggle of following a diet. Healthy relationships require struggling through hard times. Financial health requires struggling with budgets and wise spending and saving habits. Those are all struggles, but at the result of them, you get some good stuff, don't you? How have you done with your struggles in 2020, by the way? There's been plenty of opportunities, hasn't there? But there's been many places of struggle, haven't there? Have there been any successes in your life? I hope you can say yes. If you'd like a redo, though, then guess what? 2021 is upon us. with more adversity and more opportunity to grow in Christ through those adversities. The open door before us today is 2021. And I can tell you without a doubt that with this open door before us, there's going to be some adversaries. There's going to be some adversity, but also there's going to be potential through them for many successes in Christ. And that's what I want us to leave here with today. Open doors and adversaries are all throughout the Bible. Let me give you some examples of what some people did and the results of them. All of you know the story, hopefully, of Queen Esther. An entire book was written about it. You can read it later on. I'll give you the quick synopsis. The key characters in this particular book were Queen Esther, the king, Xerxes, Esther's uncle, Mordecai, and a man by the name of Haman, who was the adversary. The open door before Queen Esther was that she had an opportunity to save the entire Jewish race because of the position that she was in. Haman, on the other hand, wanted to destroy the entire Jewish race. But in the face of death, Esther stood firm and Esther obeyed what the Lord had before her. And the result of Esther's obedience, of obedient Esther, was that she saved the Jewish race from annihilation. I would call that success, wouldn't you? Here's another example. Steadfast Nehemiah. Steadfast Nehemiah, the key characters in this particular book, again, an entire book dedicated to the story of Nehemiah, is a king by the name of Artaxerxes. There was also some adversaries there, among them Sanballat, Tobias, and Geshem. The open door before Nehemiah was that he would be able to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem that had been torn down and therefore rebuild the people and their pride and their security and their sense of worth. In the face of constant threats by Sanballat and Tobias and Geshem, Nehemiah remained steadfast. And the success, the result was that he was able to rebuild the wall in just a matter of a few weeks. I would call that success, would you not? How about this one? Trusting David. In the book of 1 Samuel, we read the story, really starting at the beginning of 1 Samuel, towards the end of 1 Samuel, we begin to read the story of King David, who comes in, but he wasn't king at first. He was just a shepherd boy. But the open door before him was when Samuel anointed him as king while he was still watching out for the sheep, the youngest of seven brothers. He was anointed to be king of Israel. His adversary was King Saul. At that time, King Saul was the king, but God had removed his anointing from Saul and placed it upon David. We know the story of what happened with David. When he was about 15 years old, he was anointed king, but he didn't realize the throne until he was about 40 years old, when he was able to be king of all of Israel. You see, in the face of multiple death threats, David was chased down by Saul constantly. David was in caves and ran for his life constantly. In the face of multiple threats, David kept trusting in God's promise. And the result was eventually, ultimately, David did become the king of all of Israel. I would call that great success. How about you? How about this one? Faithful Paul, the Apostle Paul. The open door for Paul was the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. His adversaries, as we looked at it, were unnamed, at least in this particular passage, although he faced many adversaries everywhere that he went. There were many times that he was being threatened to be stoned, many times that he was threatened to be put in prison, many times threatened to be killed, and many times he was had to sneak out in the middle of the night. They lowered him out through baskets, through holes in the walls of the city, and different things of that nature. In the face of death and in the face of imprisonment, Paul remained faithful to his call to preach the gospel. And the result was the gospel was preached. Souls were saved. The church was expanded. I would call that great success. How about you? In the face of opposition of all these people, in the face of adversity and adversaries, great success. Because they were diligent, obedient, and trusting. Let me give you one more example. Victorious Jesus. Victorious Jesus, what was his open door? Salvation for all of mankind. Salvation for you and salvation for me. Amen. Who are his adversaries? Well, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious leaders of that day, were the fleshly adversaries, the ones that you can touch and see, being opposed at every turn. We all know the story of what Jesus did. Jesus overcame them with the ultimate victory over death and hell and the grave, and the result was mankind was saved from eternal damnation and separation from God. I would call that great success. How about you? Come on, let's give the Lord praise for that this morning. Not one of them turned away in fear. Not one of them gave up. Not one of them cowered down. Not one of them shrunk back. They all faced the opportunities that were before them, understanding the adversity that was before them as well, because God was with them. So what should we do, and what should be our response to the adversity that comes in our life? Well, first, and if you're taking notes, write this down. We must realize that our adversary is not people. It's not Pharisees and Sadducees. It's not the Sanballats and the Tobiases and the Hamans of the world. Our adversary, the Bible says, is Satan himself. When we look at Jesus and his life, we realize that Satan was doing everything he could to try to destroy him, to try to defeat him. He did the same with Queen Esther. He did the same with King David. He did the same with all these people in the Bible, because he was trying to destroy God's plan for you and I. Satan used Haman. Satan used Tobias. Satan used Sanballat, Saul, the Pharisees, and all the rest to try to destroy God's plan and try to destroy God's people. Satan's goal is to use people and circumstances to try to shut you and me down, to deter us and to defeat us. But what Satan means for evil and destruction, I'm here to declare today that God can turn it around for the good and for your success if you'll just trust him, if you'll just wait, if you'll just be patient, if you'll just hang in there, if you'll just stay with it and be steadfast in him. Amen? Amen? Amen. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 10 says, it gives actually a great template on how we can respond to these attacks and walk in success as we enter into 2021. I'm going to read to you these few verses here, and then we're going to unpack it for just a moment. It says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you've suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." Hear me today. Satan is looking around for the weak. He's looking around for the uncertain. And he's looking around for the vacillating to pick off. If you're a Christian this morning, how many is a Christian? Wave at me. If you're a Christian this morning, guess what? You've got a target right here on your chest. As soon as you received Jesus in your heart, you became a target. And Satan is out to attack you. But I'm here to tell you today that we have the Spirit of Christ in us. You have the Spirit of Christ in you. You have the authority of Christ in you. You have the victory of Christ in you. You have the success of Christ in you. You have the power of Christ in you to help you to defeat the enemy and to walk in victory and success in him. So how do we do that? Write these notes down. Let's unpack this scripture for just a moment. The first one is to be alert. Be alert. Know your spiritual surroundings. Folks, I'm not talking about your physical surroundings. I'm talking about your spiritual surroundings. We must be spiritually discerning. The Holy Spirit in us, the Spirit of Christ in us, can help us to see what's going on around us in the spiritual realm. And we know our spiritual surroundings. We must not fall asleep at the wheel. We must think ahead. We must be proactive. Be alert in Christ. The second thing is to be sober-minded. What does that mean? That means to not be drunk with the things of this world. What are some of the things that the world can cause us to be drunk with? How about some fears? How about some of its spirit, the spirit of carnality that's there, and the spirit of flesh? How about some of its goals, even? To get ahead and to be successful and all that. Those, you can get drunk with those sort of things if you're not careful. We need to be of spiritually sound thinking, spiritually sound reasoning, and spiritually sound connecting of the dots. We need to be sober-minded, to think straight, to think right in Christ. Here's the next thing. We read that we need to resist the enemy. Resist the enemy. You don't have power in your own strength to resist the enemy, but in Christ you do. And as we speak the name of Jesus and we resist the enemy, the Bible says in James 4:7 that the enemy will flee from you. He must, because he can't stand against the name of Jesus, because Jesus has already defeated Satan. Here's the next thing that's in our text. Stand firm in the faith. Stand firm in the faith. Be like a tree planted by the water of the river of life, as it's described in the book of Psalms. Not looking to the left, not looking to the right, but keeping your eyes fixed on the author and the finisher of your faith, facing whatever adversity firmly rooted in Jesus Christ. I promise you that the storms are going to come. The adversary is going to try to defeat you. There's adversity that's just around the corner, but I promise you that as that adversity comes, you've got to know that that means that there's an opportunity there too. When Satan is trying to shut you down, that means God's trying to build you up. When Satan's trying to stop you, that means God's trying to advance you. You see, when Satan's trying to keep you from doing something, that means God's got a great plan and a purpose for your life, and Satan's trying to nip it in the bud. He's trying to abort it. He's trying to stop it before it even begins. Don't let him do it. Stand firm in the faith. Resist the enemy. Be sober-minded. Be alert. It's only through God's strength that we can overcome the opposition. We should never rely on our own strength and cleverness, because they are limited and they're insufficient to match anything that the devil may throw at us. But Zechariah 4:6 says, it's not by might and it's not by my power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. That's how we can overcome. This is how I fight my battles, as we just sung, in the name of Jesus. So what must we do as we enter into the open door of 2021? To face the opposition and our adversaries and come out on the other side successful and victorious. Let me read to you another scripture. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12 says this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against rulers. It's not against authorities. It's not against all of those things. It's not against all those things that we see. It's not against the powers of this dark world, but it's against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's what our struggle is against. It's against the rulers, authorities, and the powers of this dark world. It's against Satan himself, who's trying to stop you. But we must put on the full armor of God. That's what it says in our passage here, Ephesians chapter 6. What is the full armor of God? Think about it. We got that helmet of salvation. It's helping us to think straight. We got the breastplate of righteousness that helps us to walk in his righteousness and not our own. We got the shield of faith that protects us from those fiery darts. We got the sword of the Spirit that is our only offensive weapon, that we pierce the darkness and we slice up the lies of the enemy. We got the belt of truth that holds it all together, and we got our feet shod with the gospel of peace. And all of these things are going to protect us. They're going to defeat the enemy, and they're going to make us successful in Christ as we enter into this great, big, shiny new year of 2021. Every day you put on your clothes. Every day put on the armor of God. Along with this open door, folks, there's going to be an adversary. It's Satan himself, who's going to do everything that he can to discourage you and to distract you and to stop you from growing in Christ and from being effective in him. He's going to use people. He's going to use circumstances, and he's going to even use your own self to oppose you. All these examples of Esther and Nehemiah and David and Paul have one thing in common. They relied on God's strength and not their own. They trusted in God. They faced their adversaries with boldness, with faith, with courage, and with great success. Even Jesus, the Bible says he was fully man and yet fully God. If you remember the story when he was just before crucifixion, cried out in the garden, in the face of his crucifixion, he cried out to him and said to God, if you can just let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And I don't know, we dwell on that part of the scripture, I think, too often. But if you read that text in Luke chapter 22, starting in verse 43, it says simply, God replied in a beautiful way. in Jesus' anguish, and he said, and it reads here in verse 43, an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. I think that's just a beautiful verse that we sometimes too often pass over and not really stop and dwell on for just a moment. Even Jesus, the Son of God, needed to be strengthened and comforted from heaven himself, from God himself, from an angel. God sent that angel and said, you go comfort my son. He's going through a difficult time right now. You go comfort him. He's in anguish right now. Aren't you thankful that God sends us his angels? That he sends us his spirit? That he comforts us? And that he helps us in our time of need? Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd help us today as we go through our time of anguish to realize that it's not just an angel that you send to Jesus, but Lord, you also send us your angels. Amen? Jesus' death came. I just want you to know, though, that as Jesus was strengthened by God, he was able to walk through that open door. Jesus walked through that open door. Think about this. Jesus was strengthened by the angel, and it gave him the strength that he needed to walk through the open door to complete his work for us, so that Jesus could do what he needed to do so that we could stand here in right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Jesus was strengthened by God. And as a result of that, Jesus was able to complete the task that God had placed before him. And God's going to do the same thing for you. God is here to strengthen you today. Jesus' death became our open door back to right relationship with God. And we can only come to God through Jesus Christ today, folks. Once we accept Jesus into our hearts, he provides for us the strength that we need to overcome every opposition and be victorious over every adversary. 2021 is an open door with many potential adversaries. But as we walk in obedience, as we walk in faith, and as we walk in trust and steadfastness in Christ, I promise you that we can be victorious in the strength that the Lord gives us. Adversary actually is good for us. Having adversity in our lives is actually a good thing because it helps us to grow in Christ. It disciplines us. It redirects our faith and trust back to God. It humbles us. It's a necessary part of our spiritual maturity that burns away all the chaff and removes all the dross to make us purer gold for Christ. So as much as we don't like adversity, as much as we don't like challenges like that, it does help us to be more like Christ. So in that sense, Lord, thank you for the adversities in our life. Thank you for the challenges. Thank you for the tests. Thank you for the strains and the stresses in our life. Because it's only through those times that you can show yourself to be faithful, to show yourself to be who you are in our lives. Strong and powerful and good and victorious through us. So I want to encourage you today to not shrink back in the face of the adversity that is certain to come in your life. 2020 has had its challenges, and maybe you didn't handle the adversity as well as you had liked. But a new year with new opportunities and new challenges is right before you today. With a redo, possibly, with new opportunities to be a blessing and to point people to Jesus. I don't know. Maybe, just like Nehemiah, God's got a wall and a people for you to rebuild in 2021. I don't know. Maybe just like King David, God's got a position of influence and power to ascend to in 2021. I don't know. Maybe just like Queen Esther, God's got a people for you to save and to preserve in 2021. Maybe just like the Apostle Paul, God's got a gospel to proclaim and to advance in 2021. I don't know. But God's got an opportunity for you. God's got a plan for your life. And I want to challenge you today to go forward in it, in His strength. There are many open doors before us in 2021 with many adversaries. But greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Would you stand with me this morning? Father, we thank you today that in the midst of all that's gone on in 2020, you've been faithful and you've been good. I want you, just if you're in your home today or as you're watching here today in this sanctuary, I want you to just lift up your hands and yield to Him praise right now. Yield to Him surrender. Just lift up both hands and just begin to worship Him. And I want you to, as an act of surrender, say, Lord, I need You in my life. I face much adversity. It's sometimes personal. It's sometimes corporate. It's sometimes relational. It's sometimes physical. It's sometimes emotional. It's sometimes spiritual. It's sometimes financial, and it's sometimes mental. But I'm facing adversities, and I never know when it's going to happen. But I know that You're going to be with me, because Your word says that You're with me. You're a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So I yield to You my life. And I thank You, Lord God, that You're going to help me, just as Queen Esther did, just as King David did, just as Nehemiah did, just as Paul did, certainly just as Jesus did. Lord, there's so many other examples in the Bible, and I want to be one of those people. We want to be those people that, as the opportunities are put before us, as we're placed in a position, as an anointing is placed on us, as a door is open before us, Lord God, that we would walk through, that we would be obedient, that we would trust You, that we would be steadfast, that we would place our faith in You and be faithful to the task, no matter what adversity may come our way, so that You can be glorified. Amen. So that Your kingdom can be expanded. Amen. So that You can use us, Lord God, to bring strength to Your name, strength and glory to Your name, to expand Your kingdom for Your glory. Lord, we want to be on that list of people that doesn't shrink back. We want to be in that group of people that forges forward and that trusts You every step of the way. We pray, Lord God, that no matter what 2020 holds, we don't know, but we do know who holds it. You hold it, Lord Jesus, and we are in the palm of Your hands, just as this new year is. You're not surprised by anything that happened this year, nor will You be surprised of anything that's going to take place in the coming year. So, Father, we rest in Your strength. We're going to be sober-minded. We're going to be alert. We're going to stand firm in our faith. And we're going to resist the enemy, Lord God, knowing that Your strength in us is going to help us to walk through every challenge and every adversity. And we're going to come out on the other end, Lord God, successful and victorious, glorifying You, more like You, worshiping and praising You, knowing, Lord God, that it's because of You that there would be any success in our lives. It's only through You that we would have any success in our lives, any victories in our lives. So, Lord, I pray a blessing now over this congregation, everyone watching online, everyone here in this building. God, I pray for Your protection over them. I pray that You'd give them strength. I pray, God, that You'd give them steadfastness. I pray that You would increase their faith. I pray, Lord God, that You would help them to be obedient. Oh, God, I pray that You would help them to trust You with all their hearts, and that every opportunity that's placed in front of them, that they would walk, Lord God, facing it headlong, facing it head on, Lord God, not looking to the left or to the right, but facing those things, Lord God, that are before them, rejoicing, Lord God, that if the challenges may be there, You're also going to give us all that we need to see us through, so that we can see Your kingdom expanded. I pray strength. I pray success. I pray fruitfulness. I pray victory over this congregation for 2021. We thank You for Your faithfulness this last year. And we thank You that You're a God that's faithful no matter what the calendar looks like, because You are faithful, period. And we ask this, Jesus, in Your name. And all God's people said, amen.